The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. We'll consider another one of the women that we read about and introduced to in the Scriptures. Today we want to consider Mary Magdalene. And we read there in verse 9 of the Gospel of Mark, chapter 16. Now when Jesus was risen early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven devils. I would like you to go over into Luke's Gospel and to the 8th chapter. Luke chapter 8. And there we read in verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. And not only were the 12 with him, but we're told that certain women were with him also, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, was ministered unto him of their substance. So we're introduced to Mary Magdalene once again, this time by Luke. And this dear woman, Mary Magdalene, has suffered much at the hand of many. Commentators, preachers, painters, poets, both ancient and modern, have been guilty of character assassination as far as Mary Magdalene is concerned. They have attacked her person because they have portrayed this dear woman as an immoral individual. Preachers have portrayed her as a harlot, as a woman of ill repute. Even though there is not one shred of evidence in all of Scripture that supports their foul accusation. They should remember the words of the 9th commandment: thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. And also the words of Solomon: a false witness shall not be unpunished, and he that speaketh lies shall not escape. Proverbs 19 verse 5. And certainly many a false witness has risen up and spoken against this woman from Magdala. For in the various notices of her history in the Gospels, she exhibits a character as pure and as devoted as any person from the very first day she met the Lord until the end. The Scripture records her, as we shall see, as a very sweet and a very beautiful woman. That's her person. And then we think about her past. It is interesting to note that we are told nothing about Mary Magdalene's past, except this one detail, that she once had 7 devils rule her life. That's all we're told about her past. That's all we're told about her before she met the Lord. We're told much about her after she met the Lord. In fact, that's what the Gospels are taken up with. Mary Magdalene, after she had been delivered of those 7 devils. Now this is a very important point. Here we have Mary Magdalene, and we're told nothing about her prior to her meeting Christ and being delivered. But we're told much about her after that time. And how often have we listened to someone stand up and give their testimony? And as they've given their testimony, they've spent most of their time telling you and telling us about their past. The majority of the testimony is taken up with their past. And we're told very little about what has happened to them and what they're doing for the Lord after their conversion. And yet here we find Mary Magdalene setting us a wonderful example. We hear more about Mary Magdalene and her Lord after her conversion than we do about her before her conversion. We will soon see all that we know about Mary Magdalene focuses on her loving relationship with Christ. I must say I thoroughly enjoyed, always enjoy studying the Word, but I thoroughly enjoyed studying the life of Mary Magdalene. Her person, we've learned something about that in her past, and about her place. She's called Mary Magdalene, an indication that she was from a place called Magdala. In fact, in the original, it reads Mary the Magdalene. The definite article is there, Mary the Magdalene, indicating that she was from a place called Magdala in the region of Galilee, just north of Jordan. She's always referred to by this name, Mary Magdalene. And that, of course, sets her apart from all of the other Marys of Scripture. For there are quite a number of Marys that we read about in the Gospels. But she certainly was a woman who was set apart from other women in many, many ways. I want to look at this dear woman, a woman whom I have called the lovely, loving Lady of the Lord. And she most certainly was a lovely, loving lady. She loved the Lord with all of her heart. And oh, that as we study Mary Magdalene, oh, that the Spirit of God would so work in our hearts that we would love the Lord as Mary loved the Savior. One is first of all to consider Mary Magdalene and her deliverance. As we've already seen, the only information we are given about Mary's past is this, that she was once ruled, her life, her heart, her ways was ruled by 7 devils. This tells us something about her life. Just to know that 7 devils resided in the heart of this woman would tell us that she must have had to endure a life of misery. devil doesn't bring us any joy. So what must it have been like for Mary Magdalene to have been possessed of 7 devils? What a plague of misery that man had to endure. It was possessed of a legion of devils. In Luke chapter 8, and there in verse 27, we read about what legion had to endure. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time. Luke chapter 8 and verse 27. And wear no clothes, neither abode in any house but in the tombs. And we are told in verse 29, for he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept and bound with chains and fetters and brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. What a miserable existence. No man could help him and no man could tame him. Living in the tombs, running about the tombs there in his nakedness. What must it have been like for that lad? They read about in Luke chapter 9. He was also possessed of a devil. In Luke 9 and verse 39. And lo, a spirit taketh him, and he suddenly crieth out, and it teareth him that he foameth again, and bruising him hardly departeth from him. That same devil, we read elsewhere, tried to destroy that young lad, casting him into the fire and casting him into the water. And now we read that he tore him before he left him. You see, dear hearer, today, Satan, the devil, is a heartless, cruel taskmaster who shows no mercy to those who are under his control. And that's what Mary Magdalene's life must have been like, being ruled not by one but by 7 devils. 7. 7. 7 is the number of completeness. And you apply that to Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene was under the complete control of the devil. The devil completely ruled her life. Completely ran her life. The devil sought to completely ruin her life. She would have experienced the tyranny of those devils, the torment of those devils, the terror of those devils. Her woes would have been 7 times greater than anyone else. Her wounds 7 times deeper. Her world would have been 7 times darker. That is, until the day when somewhere, sometime, somehow, she met the Lord. And the Lord delivered her of those 7 devils. And Mary Magdalene became a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the horrors of the old life became a thing of the past. And Mary Magdalene began to enjoy the happiness of a new life. And a new life in Christ Jesus. Before that wonderful day, she was under the control of 7 devils. But from that day forth, she was under the control of a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ became her liberator. Mark speaks of Mary Magdalene in verse 9. We read there and this morning that Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 devils. As was said, 7 devils controlled Mary's life. She had been under the influence, the instruction, as it were. In many ways, Mary had been imprisoned by 7 devils. Until the day the Lord set her free. When she met the one to whom all devils must bow. And at that meeting, Mary Magdalene was liberated. She was set free. And we know that him whom the Lord sets free is free indeed. And Christ became her deliverer, her savior, her rescuer, and her liberator. Mark says, Mary Magdalene, out of whom he cast 7 devils. But look here in Luke. Consider the words of Luke chapter 8. And verse 2. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Mark says, out of whom he cast 7 devils. But Luke says, out of whom went 7 devils. What may we gather from those words? It is very simple. You see, whenever the Lord Jesus comes in, the devils must go out. And so when Christ came into this woman's life and took possession of her heart and her life, the devils went out. They had to go out. There was no such a thing as the Lord Jesus coming into this woman's heart and cohabiting with the 7 devils. You can't have the devil and Christ living under the same roof or living in the same heart. When the one comes in, the others must go. Look at chapter 8. And verse 33. Regarding Legion. Verse 33. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. But the devils went out when Christ came in. Turn to chapter 11 of the same gospel. In chapter 11 and verse 14. And he was casting out a devil, and it was dumb, and it came to pass, when the devil was gone out, the dumb spake, and the people wondered. See, when Christ came in, the devil went out, and the dumb spake. When Christ comes in and the devil goes out, that's when the change takes place in a person's life. And what a wonderful change took place in the life of Mary Magdalene. Christ was her liberator. Christ set Mary Magdalene free. and the devils went out when Christ came in. And dear Christian, Christ is our liberator. He has set us free. And this ought to be a comfort to every sinner. The man of Gadara had a legion of devils controlling his life. But the Lord delivered him. Mary had 7 devils controlling her life, and the Lord delivered her. You see, it doesn't matter how firm a grip the devil has in anyone's life, Christ can still set them free. Christ can be any sinner's liberator. He can set the prisoner free. We have considered her life and her liberator. And let's consider her love. We'll deal more with that this evening. Her love for the Lord. If the meaning of Mary's name is anything to go by, then the Lord Jesus Christ certainly wrought a wonderful change in this woman's life. For you see, Mary is equivalent to the Hebrew name Mara. In Ruth chapter 1, verse 20, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. You recall also when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, crossed the Red Sea. They complained that they had no water to drink. And they came to the waters of Marah. And in Exodus 15, verse 23, we read, and when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. And we learn from this that Mary means bitter. And just as the Lord made the bitter waters of Marah sweet, so he made Mary one of the sweetest women you will ever meet with in the scriptures. From being perhaps a bitter woman, as her name means, the Lord transformed her into a sweet woman. From being a bitter woman when possessed by 7 devils, she became a sweet woman when Christ took control of her life. For you see, where there is bitterness, there cannot possibly be love. And this woman was wonderfully changed and became a loving woman. There was no bitterness in her life whatsoever after she fell in love with Christ. And everywhere you look in the life of Mary Magdalene, her love for Christ is there. Her toil was a toil of love for the Lord. Her thoughts were thoughts of love. Her tears at the garden tomb were tears of love for the Savior. Her touch when she touched the Master was the touch of love. Her testimony was a testimony of love. Her love for the Savior. With Peter she could easily have said, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. If ever a woman loved Christ, it was Mary Magdalene. And when we consider Mary Magdalene and all of her activity for Christ and her attitude towards Christ and her affection for Christ, we can almost hear those words again that we sang this morning. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the pleasures of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, Lord Jesus, 'tis now. Mary Magdalene could easily have sung the words of that hymn, for she certainly lived the words of that hymn. So we have Mary and her deliverance. Next we have Mary Magdalene and her dedication. When the Savior entered the house of Simon the Pharisee, there was a woman who entered that house also just at that time. This woman stood behind the Savior weeping, and she washed his feet with her tears. The Lord used this incident to speak to Simon. You go back there to Luke chapter 7 and verse 44. There's the woman standing, weeping, washing the Savior's feet with her tears. She anoints the Lord. She was a woman of the streets. And it's amazing the number of commentators who think that this woman in Luke 7 was Mary Magdalene. In Luke chapter 8, there's no evidence, none whatsoever. I don't know why they say that. They're two different women altogether. But there she is, she has come and she's worshipping the Lord and she's weeping before the Lord. She's in love with the Lord because of what the Lord did for her. And we read then in verse 44, and he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house, and thou gavest me no water for my feet. But she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Verse 45, thou gavest me no kiss. But this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Do you notice what the Lord was teaching Simon about this woman? He was teaching Simon that this woman was in love with him, was in love with Christ. And she readily gave to Christ what she could. Isn't that what he said to Simon? I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water. But this woman gave me her tears. Verse 45. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman hasn't ceased kissing me. She gave me her kisses. I come into thy house, and thou didst not anoint my head, yet this woman gave me the precious ointment and anointed my head and my feet. It's all about what she gave. And why did she give her kisses and her love and her tears and her ointment to Christ? Because she was in love with Christ. And you look at Mary Magdalene. And from the time that the Lord delivered her of the seven devils, it's all about what Mary Magdalene gave to Christ. Because of her love for him. And without a doubt, because Mary Magdalene had been forgiven much, being delivered of seven devils, she, like the woman in Luke chapter 7, loved much. And believer, have we not been forgiven much? Then we ought to love much. We ought to love the Lord very much. Notice Mary and her service. Luke chapter 8. In the first three verses that we have read, you have Mary Magdalene and her service. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him, and certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. You can see that all of these women mentioned in verse 3 were in love with Christ because of what he had done for them. And certain women, verse 2, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. And Mary Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. And they all ministered unto him of their substance. There's Mary Magdalene's service. And you look at Mary Magdalene's service. It was a considerable service. It was a considerable service because verse 1 tells us that Jesus went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God and the women ministered unto him of their substance. In other words, as the Lord Jesus went through the cities and the villages preaching the kingdom of God, Mary Magdalene went with him. And the other women, and they together ministered unto Christ as he went through the cities and the villages. Wherever Christ went, they went. And as they went with the Lord, they ministered unto him. No sooner had Mary Magdalene been delivered of the seven devils than she gives herself to serving Christ. And you know, believer, that's the normal. That's the natural thing to do. When the Lord has come into someone's life, and the Lord has saved them and delivered them from their sins and their iniquities, the natural thing to do is then say, Lord, how can I serve thee? When the Lord Jesus went into the house of Simon, Peter, and Andrew, they told the Lord about Peter's mother-in-law. that she had been sick of a fever. And we are told then, in verse 31 of Mark chapter 1, and he came, that is Christ, and took her by the hand, and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her. Listen. And she ministered unto them. Once the fever left her, she stood up and ministered unto Christ and the disciples who were in the house. It's a natural thing to do. You recall Legion? When Legion was delivered, he came to the Lord and wanted to go with the Lord. He wanted to be a missionary. He wanted to go out with the Lord and travel around with the Lord. And the Lord told him, no, you go home. And tell thy friends what great things the Lord hath done for thee. See, it was the natural thing for Legion to do. He had been saved, he had been delivered. Now Legion wanted to serve the Lord. Simon's mother-in-law had been healed and saved, and now she wanted to serve the Lord. Mary Magdalene and the other women had been delivered, and now they wanted to serve the Lord. It's a natural thing to do. Simon Peter's mother-in-law served the Lord at home, in the house. Not every person is called to be a missionary. And to go around all the cities and the villages in far off lands. We can serve the Lord at home in the house. Simon's mother-in-law did. Mary Magdalene was prepared to go further afield. This was a considerable service. Reminds us of the words of John in the book of the Revelation, where we read there about they who follow the Lamb, whithersoever he goeth. Mary Magdalene wanted to follow the Lamb whithersoever he went. She was in love with him. It was not only a considerable service, it was a caring service. He being the Son of Man, Mary knew that in his travels that he would be weary. He'll be tired. He would thirst, he would be hungry. And so she wanted to care for the Savior. And so she went with the Lord throughout all the cities and the villages, and she ministered unto him of her substance. She had a caring, compassionate heart, which compelled her to minister unto the Lord of her substance. The same word for minister is used by Matthew. It's used by Matthew to describe the service rendered unto the Lord by the angels following his 40 days of temptation in the wilderness. Same word. And we read in Matthew 4 verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Mary ministered unto the Lord in the same way that the very angels of heaven ministered unto the Lord. You could say Mary was an angel. Angel means servant. And Mary ministered unto the Lord this heavenly service. as he went about preaching the gospel. He had a caring, compassionate heart. Indeed, the same word is used by the Lord himself in Matthew chapter 20. And there in Matthew 20, the Lord, emphasizing his humility in coming into the world, in Matthew 20 and verse 28, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. It's the same word. And he gave his life a ransom for many. Now we get the picture of Mary's love for the Lord and her service for him. She renders to the Lord this heavenly service, the way the angels minister to him. And she also ministers to him with this Christ-like ministry. No doubt she was a Christ-like individual, certainly to be seen in her ministry. And as I look at these verses in Luke chapter 8, I cannot help but think of Mary's service as a compelling service. Reading again the words of verses 2 and 3 of Luke chapter 8, and thinking upon what these women and Mary had been delivered from, we're told they were delivered from evil spirits and infirmities, and Mary Magdalene from 7 devils. Did these women not feel compelled to do something? Did they not feel compelled? They must serve the Lord. They must live for him. After all, he had delivered them. And they felt surely compelled to serve Christ. Did Paul not have that thought in his mind when he wrote those words, "For to me to live is Christ"? We know what the Lord saved Paul from, and Paul said he was the chief of sinners. And then after that great deliverance, he was able to say, "For to me to live is Christ." And he told the believers at Corinth, "For the love of Christ constraineth me." It wasn't Paul's love for Christ that constrained him to serve the Lord. It was the Lord's love for him that constrained him. The word constraineth there in Acts 18 verse 5 is translated pressed. Acts 18 verse 5, where we read, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ." In other words, when Paul saw the opportunity, he felt compelled, "I need to preach Christ here." He was pressed into service. He was compelled to preach Christ. And Mary Magdalene, being delivered of 7 devils, she was compelled to serve Christ. She could do nothing else but serve the Lord, because she was in so much, she was in love with the Lord. Then I notice also, for Mary Magdalene, it was a continual service. Mary's service was not the product of some sudden burst of enthusiasm. No, Mary's service was long-lasting. We know know that from what we read in Matthew 27. If you just go back to Matthew 27, please. Matthew 27 and verse 55. Mary is now at the cross. And in Matthew 27, 55, and many women were there beholding afar off, which followed Jesus from Galilee, and so they had followed the Lord Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem. What were they doing as they followed from Galilee to Jerusalem? Ministering unto him. Among which was, there she is again, Mary Magdalene. And so these women, and since we're talking about Mary Magdalene, we can say Mary Magdalene followed the Lord Jesus from Galilee to Jerusalem. And as she followed him from Galilee to Jerusalem, a distance of over 100 miles, she ministered unto him all the way. And when the Lord, as we've learned from Luke chapter 8, when the Lord went throughout all the cities and the villages preaching the kingdom, she ministered unto him then. She ministered unto him all the way to Jerusalem. This was a continual ministry. This was no kind of haphazard type of ministry. Sudden burst of enthusiasm and then falling back and doing nothing. Mary continued her service for the Lord right to the very end. And even when the Lord had given up the ghost, and Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus had taken down the body of Christ, anointed it, wrapped it in the grave clothes and placed it in the tomb, Mary was still ministering. And still serving her Lord, because in Mark chapter 16, Mary came the first day of the week and she had precious spices with her to anoint the body of Christ. Still ministering. Oh, what a woman this was. Mary and her service. Mary and her sacrifice. And with this I'll close. Luke informs us that Mary Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils, and Joanna the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, ministered unto him of their substance. There's her sacrifice. She ministered unto the Lord of her substance, or that word substance may be rendered things which they possessed. She gave her own possessions, what she possessed. She may not have it very much, but what she had, she used it in her service for the Lord. She readily gave to the Lord. Mary Magdalene evidently had a very loose hold on the things of the earth. She had a very loose hold of her possessions. She readily gave them up. And gave them to the Lord and used them in the Lord's service. What a woman this was. What a wonderful woman this was. And because of her love for her Savior, she had no difficulty ministering unto him of her substance. My, we can become so tight-fisted, can't we? With our substance and our possessions. was so reluctant to give them to the Lord. Does this not remind us of the words of C.T. Studd? If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice is too great for me to make for him. And as far as Mary Magdalene was concerned, all that the Savior had done for her in casting out the 7 devils and setting her free, there was no sacrifice too great for her to make for Christ. Why? Why was Mary Magdalene prepared to make such sacrifices? Because she loved the Lord. Why? Think of the words of Francis Ridley Abigail. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mightst ransom be and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord and gracious God, we bless thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, dear Lord, for this woman that has so much to teach us. This woman whose life was all about Christ. O loving God, have us, Lord, to follow Mary's example. Lord, lead us into that same love that Mary had for the Savior. Increase our love for thee, dear Lord.